Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." It says, "Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now, if you notice the language of the scripture, it uses the word "able," saying God is able to do something only when the communication is that there is a big role you have to play in his being able to make it able for you. Amen? The scripture will never say God is able to save you. No, it says God has saved you. It will never say God is able to make you rich. He has made you rich. You will never see the scripture saying God is able to heal you. That is already a fact. But now in some places, he says God is able, which means he's communicating that there is a role you have to play in it. Now, even the whole misnomer of God doing exceedingly abundantly, above what you can think, in reality, he has to first get you to a place where you actually can think it. Although right now, you might not be able to think it. And that is true for so many things and for so many people. And I'll tell you this, that people who are just one day, held back by the clutches of survival, all they can think about is paying one bill, doing this, doing that. And if you look at all the dreams they have in life, they are nothing beyond surviving here and getting some, you know. And even there might be an elevated form of survival, you know, I want to own a house, I want to do that. And all that's just survival. And that's the place at which God gets them. And then the power that works in us starts actually working in them. And then one day, you see somebody who was a pure survivor. And the next day, their dreams are so big that they cannot be tied down to survival. And in between there, it was just the spark of the Spirit of God, according to the power that works in us, that actually entered into somebody's mind and turned on a certain bulb. Just turned it on. And now somebody who was seeing himself as small and not capable of doing big things, God, if you can just at least save me from rent and I have my car house, then I also build some nyumbazawa pangisa. You know the way typical survivors think. Now, God comes and turns on something inside that person. And then you cannot recognize them thereafter. And it is the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, there is nothing in the world that can turn somebody who has grown up in survival. You grew up, school fees was a problem. You grew up even, you know, everything was a problem. You've not experienced anything big, so to speak. Nothing. There is nothing big you've experienced. And then God wants to use you for something big. He has to come and do something because it's not in your experience. You cannot start thinking of, you know, being a world dominator, yet you've not even ever been able to dominate your village. Even in your village, you are at the bottom of the bottom. But today, God is going to switch on that bulb in you and turn you away from being a survivor into something that you don't even you yourself will not understand. And if they do those things of before and after, who you were before and who you are after, even you will not be able to recognize yourself. Because there is nothing in your background that gives you the right to even think about the things which God wants to use you for. Now he says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, all that we have experienced. So that when we ask for this kayumba, let me pay it and I don't have to pay rent. You ask for this, you know, all that you ask. But yet he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above that. So now, and he knows you do not have the capacity to handle it. But he just comes and turns on a bulb in you. See, and suddenly even from that Kayumba, you start seeing big things, very, very big things. And you wonder, where did this come from? The things that I'm dreaming about, I have not experienced them. I don't even know of anybody who has, you know, outwardly experienced them. And yet now you find yourself in a place where you're not only, you're believing it and you're seeing it. And you talk to people who once knew you and they wonder what happened to you. And they say, you, what happened to you? I mean, what happened? Did you encounter an angel somewhere? And so on. Praise the Lord. But something bigger than encountering an angel happened. You encounter the Spirit of God at that level of dreaming, at that level of switching your survival. Because the big things that the Lord is planning to do, he's going to have to do them through us. Praise the Lord. But he's going to have to save us from our survival thinking and take us into something bigger. So now, above all that you ask, because all that you've been asking, that level, you know, or that you even think, you do not have the right to think the things that the Lord, Spirit of the Lord wants to do for you. Now, as we take Holy Communion today, he's going to switch on something and you'll become a totally different person. Completely different. And even your dreams, your words, because I so many of you, especially when I used to see people, I know many of you and the things you think. You come and somebody thinks something and you look at them and some of them you know that they are capable of much bigger than what they are thinking. But you can't convince them. If you even tried to start convincing them, like they will look at you and it can't get to them. It's only God who can switch it on at some stage. And now they start seeing it. And then something has happened. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Start from verse 17. It says, "Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversaries and your tribulations. And you have said to him, "No, set a king over us." Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. By the way, I want you to know that this was just an official proclamation. Samuel had already met Saul before and had already anointed him as king before. He was just presenting him now to Israel. He was going through the official ceremony. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come nearby, by their families, the family of Matri was chosen. And Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they had sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord, "Father, has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "There he is hidden behind the equipment." So they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. In other words, he had great physical stature. But the physical stature was not matched by his confidence. Because he knew it was, the whole ceremony was about him, so he went and hid himself. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? That there is no one like him so among all the people." So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. Now, you know, some of these stories in the Bible, they will just present themselves like that. It's up to you to get to the depth of it and understand how unique some of these things are. Imagine somebody who met Samuel and told him, "You're going to meet prophets, you'll prophesy, you're going to be the king," and what? So he knew. But he's so timid that when they call people, any other person would be waiting for the, you know, they are coming to unveil me. But this man was so timid that he went and hid behind the equipment. And if they are not inquired of the Lord, the function would have flopped because the king would be nowhere to be seen. So they said, "Long live the king." Let's go ahead. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it on a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men with him whose hearts God had touched. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him. They despised him because he was despisable. What kind of person goes and hides behind the equipment when it is his unveiling? So they had good reason to despise him. So he says, so they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we shall serve you, and we'll serve you. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel. Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, hold off your 7 days, that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then if there is no one to save us, we'll come out to you. In other words, we'll come out and you take out our eyes. So the messengers came to Jabesh of Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field. Can you imagine? The man has just been crowned king. Now he's holding a stick following cows. Now I want you to see that. I want you to see the spectacularness of this Saul. That somebody does not in his mind at all feel he deserves to be king. That even after being crowned, even after all that, he still says, okay, now I'm king, okay, good. Then he goes to look after cattle. So, what is he praying? What did he go to pray about? Now that unto him who is able to do exceedingly above, he went to pray about seeing the cattle which had been lost. That's what he went to the prophet for. Then the prophet is the one who introduced the idea of being king. But he's still not there. Even after the whole ceremony of making him king, the man is still going to look after cattle. Then, now there was Saul coming from the herd, from the field, coming behind the herd from the field, the king with his zinconi, coming from what? Looking after cows. And Saul said, what troubles the people that they weep? And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel there were 300,000 and the men of Judah 30,000. Now, one act of the Spirit of God came upon him. Now suddenly he's king. He's even saying, if you do not come, this is what's going to happen to you. The man who has been looking after cattle. Now something has switched on inside him. And he's a totally different person. Praise the Lord. In much the same way, the Lord is going to switch on something inside you. And those small dreams which you've been holding on to, and you think that is your measure of success, you are going to see that you are made for something much bigger than that. Praise the Lord. You are made for something much, much bigger than that. And you could never see it unless it is the power that works in us. And to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now that is the power that worked in Saul. And the Spirit of God suddenly came upon him. And suddenly, he summoned 330,000 people. And they were at his command. And they went. A man who was looking after cattle just a few minutes ago. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when I look at some of you people, there is a lot of cattle keepers. But when the light is turned on by the Lord, and even like there are levels of cattle keeping. There are those who are cattle keepers at a very survival level, like very basic level. Then there are cattle keepers at a higher level. Then even at a higher level. But then the level God wants you to be is where you can summon 330,000 people just like that. And tell them, if you do not come, we are going to cut you to pieces. Not that you will tell them like that, but you know what I mean. There's the children of Israel, there were 300,000. And the men of Judah, 30,000. And they said to the messengers who came, thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you. Now telling to the other guys who are saying they wanted to cut off their eyes. So it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch, and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered, so no two of them were left together. Now, let me tell you, when you're reading the scripture, I want you to see how spectacular this is. That somebody who could not even avail himself when he knew that there was a function for him to unveil him. He was so scared that he hid behind the equipment. And even after that, he wants to go back to his old life because he was looking after cattle. So they come and say, now we've crowned you king. Then he says, okay, sounds good, but this is what I'm used to. Then he goes back. Now suddenly, something has changed completely. Almost instantly, something has changed. And so now he leads the army of Israel to go and fight. Then the people say to Samuel, who is he who said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. Now suddenly Saul is a superstar. Who said that Saul is not good? Who is that person who said Saul is not supposed to be king? Come and we kill you. The man, obviously he was not supposed, but God just switched something inside him. Okay? But Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day. For today, the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. Now I'm telling you, and I'm going to be very brief. The before and the after, praise the Lord, the before and the after will not be able to recognize each other when that power that works in us comes. Because it says, above everything that you ask or think. Now when God sits there and sees the things that you ask or the things that you think, he sees that they are very small. And yet, all the wonderful things that he has to do on this earth before the return of the Lord, you are the people. You are like Saul. You are the one who is there. Amen? They are not specially talented people. They are none, by the way. They are none whatsoever. They are not specially talented people out there who are waiting. And they are going to, no, they are none. So he says, I'm just going to turn on a bulb inside you. And now you start seeing yourself in a totally different way. And even the things that you ask or think are completely different from what they were before. Praise the Lord. Now, when you see somebody, let me tell you, when you see somebody coming and they have a very, very powerful dream, and you look at them and you think they are deceiving themselves, it's because for you your light has not been turned on. You are in darkness. So you are going by the experience of your life. Praise the Lord. And that's all that you have to go on. But when that light is turned on, like everything where you grew up, the slum you grew up in, the what, the stepfather, nothing matters. Something just enters you and you start thinking that you are the greatest person. And that's now that the light has turned on. 1 minute you're looking after cattle, even after being unveiled as king. The next minute you're saying, whoever does not come here is going to be put to death like this cattle. And 300,000 people come. And 330,000 people. Praise the Lord. Now, throughout all the great men of God, you read through the scriptures. There is a before and the after. Where at 1 minute, somebody is thinking this way. And you can see that there was nothing. There's nothing spectacular about them. I can even bring it to the contemporary world, where men who were once very ordinary, and something happens. I know a man here who was an evangelist. I don't know. Then one day, you know, like struggling, but yeah, you know, yeah, Jesus, yeah, yes, wow, right, but me kaba agaro kuroko kavi, those things. Now, one day in the 1980s, T.L. Osborne comes here and they go to pick him up. And this young evangelist is among the entourage of the people who go to pick him up. And as they reach there, it starts drizzling. And then nobody had an umbrella except him. For some reason, he had the umbrella. So he goes and holds the umbrella over T.L. Osborne. Like this, and goes, and Osborne like speaks. I've told you before, he used to speak for a very short time. Like he never preached for more than 10 minutes when he on crusades. You'd wait for him, worship, what, then he comes and speaks for 10 minutes. And he tells you how God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you and so on. Like that. That's what T.L. Osborne. Then he starts praying for the sick. Then you see lame people walking, total cripples walking, total cripples. I'm not talking about people who are limping, cripples. 10 minutes, that's how he was. So this man went and held the umbrella over him. And he spoke. And after that, he gave him, for some reason, Osborne, T.L. Osborne, the great, great evangelist, T.L. Osborne, took off his jacket and gave it to this man. That everything changed thereafter. Everything. The miracles started happening. You know those things. Everything changed thereafter. Because there is a power that is right there. And it can flash on by somebody. It can be flashed on by somebody whom you meet. It can be flashed on just by the Lord. One day you're praying and then this thing hits you. And then you're totally different. But usually, sometimes the Lord actually uses people to turn it on. And you meet somebody, even T.L. Osborne himself was exactly like that, a struggling evangelist. Scriptures, you know, scriptures. Until he met the prophet William Branham. And after he met William Branham, he introduced him to the supernatural. And then he went back to where he used to be, where he had gone to preach the gospel in India. And then he got one of their spiritual leaders who was blind. And he told them, if this man doesn't see, then Jesus is not Lord. If he sees, then you have to believe. And the man's eyes were open. And in India, I read, you know that man, T.L. Osborne, he wrote a book, you know, he had I used to watch VHS, you know those VHS tapes. The gospel according to T.L. Osborne. Not according to Matthew or Mark or Luke. According to? And he showed every single miracle which is recorded in the scripture which Jesus did. He showed himself doing it. Every single miracle. He shows you here in the word. He shows himself doing it. He shows it here. He shows himself doing it. But he was also a struggling person until something was turned on inside him. Praise the Lord. Now you don't know who you are. Until God unveils you to yourself. Praise the Lord. No, now, then he's the one who turned on this other guy here. And now when he came here, he was... And then he also said something. He came here in 1985. Around, I think around March. That's when he had that crusade there in Lugogo. That indoor stadium. No, actually, working now, Cricket Oval. And he wrote in his book, T.L. Osborne. The Lord sent him to go and tell. He said that he's changed leadership in countries. And he said when he was in Uganda, the Lord told him to go and tell the president at the time, who was Obote, that if you do the following things, God will preserve you in power. He must have found Obote drunk because he used to like his whiskey and cigarettes. So Obote just told him off. So Osborne said, you've lost your throne. In June. That's when the Lutwas took off. Now you see, history is changed by, if the man had done what, and Osborne said, I told him, if you do not do this, you're losing your. But Obote was saying, who are you? Like, where did you come from? So he thinks some Muzungu is going to come here and tell me what I'm supposed to do. Eh? Because I don't think he realized, you know. So he must have been high on whiskey or something. Anyway, so he wrote in his book how he changed leadership in countries, including in Uganda. He wrote that. He also had in that thing, the gospel according to T.L. Osborne, there is a time when he was in India preaching the gospel. And the clouds gathered like this and formed a clear face of Jesus. There is a picture there. And everybody could see it. It takes a lot to get an Indian saved. I'm telling you. It takes a lot to get an Indian saved. Like it was there. It was right there. Now here, here in Lugogo, when he was preaching, the clouds gathered and there was going to be a very strong downpour. Then people were getting agitated and what. So he just said very calmly, "Don't worry, it's not going to rain on you." Just like that. Then it started raining. But you could see the rain coming, then it would go like this. The grounds completely stayed dry. Completely stayed dry. I wasn't there. I've spoken to somebody who saw it with their own eyes. They said people, even those who wanted to leave the crusade, could not leave because you get wet. The only place where you are going to be dry was on the grounds. So they had to wait there and wait for him. Now, what I'm telling you is that as spectacular as they were, imagine somebody as spectacular as Moses. He had left and he had settled for a life of being a husband and a father to Zipporah, the great Moses. Now, some of you are husbands. You've been reduced to what? Of course, it's good to be a husband. Amen? But nobody was called to be just a husband. Really. Not at least not one of you. Eh? There is supposed to be more to it. By the way, not even a wife for that matter. You see, eh? There's supposed to be more about it. Anyway, so Moses is there. And then the burning bush, something changes. Then he turns around and goes to Pharaoh, from whom he was running, and stands before Pharaoh and now starts speaking. Now, what happened to the fear? Or what happened to the fear? There are some spectacular examples, like Simon Peter. You know where they say they were locked in the room for fear of the Jews. Okay? They're in the room for fear of the Jews. Everybody is there. It's the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, all Jews and even Jewish converts had to come to Jerusalem to worship. So there were people from all over the world who were there to worship. By the way, that's even how Christianity first came to Africa. Although the Bazungu claim it, they are lying. Amen? There were some Ethiopian Jews who had gone to Jerusalem to worship. 3 times a year, they would have to go there to worship. And they were converted that time, and they brought the gospel. There's a church in Ethiopia which was built in the first century. And it was a Christian church. So don't think these missionaries who came in 1800 are the ones who brought Christianity. They didn't. They are the ones who popularized it. But they're not the ones who introduced it to Africa. Amen? I've told you that, haven't I? I've told you that. And even Peter, the apostle, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, says he's writing to the what? To the church. And he says, straight, 1 Peter, Apostle Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which is Ethiopia. Or Abyssinia. So Peter, who died in AD 64, is writing to Christians who are in Africa. So don't let anybody lie to you that the Bazungu brought Christianity. Actually, Christianity came to Africa at about the same time it went to Europe. The same people who were there went and spread it. Anyway, so imagine, let's go back to the what? To the gospel and leave history. Now imagine Simon Peter and all the apostles locked up in a room for the fear of the Jews, and they can't shift. Their superstar Jesus was crucified in shame, and they are there. They don't know what is next. Shechidako. And they are timid. And then the day of Pentecost arrives, and the Spirit of God comes, and then he switches something on in them. Then the next minute, Peter is standing up and addressing the whole congregation of people whom you're scared of. Like immediately. Then he stands up and says, "Men of Israel." Then even gives them a theological lesson. God chose our forefathers. And he told us he's going to what? And then he sent his son. And you people rejected him. As if people did not reject him. You see, when the Spirit of God, he actually says you denied him. He said, the Lord whom you denied. You see, when the Spirit of God comes, you forgive yourself even for what? Hey, that wasn't me, that was somebody else. Now, then 3,000 people get saved at that time. Now, where is the fear? None. Zero. Then the same Peter, in the chapter 4, they go to the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was not just a religious council. It was also a political council. Because the Roman Empire had given Israel some sort of autonomy. So they looked after also political affairs. So they had judges according to their law, and they could sentence you, and they could do what, you know, all that. So he goes and stands in front of them, and then they warn them not to preach in the name of Jesus. And Peter stands up and says, I don't know if you see it fit that we should listen to the Lord or listen to you guys, but let it be known to you. We shall not stop. Now, a few minutes ago, the man was hiding in a room because of timidity. Then the light got turned on. Praise the Lord. Now, your light is going to get turned on now. You have to stop thinking small, because God is not thinking small when he's seeing you. He's thinking big. You understand? Eh? He will introduce you mpola mpola to yourself. So you think you know yourself. You don't know yourself. Let me tell you who you are. Then he starts introducing you. The next minute, you're a totally different person from whom you knew yourself to be. Completely different. And that's just the way it is. Now, that's what I came to tell you here today. That the light is being turned on. At 10 hours, we are going to even take that Holy Communion. And after that, you'll be seeing things. You'll be seeing yourself in places where... You see, let me tell you. You see those great people whom you see? And I remember I used to look and think, how does somebody have that ability to think that big? Do you understand? Like, think that big. Like, where you see somebody and there is not a single small... Okay, I'll give you an example. Now, sometimes you study even the life of somebody like Elon Musk. Eh? You say, who is this man? What breed of person is he? That he starts this, he starts the other. The man said when he was building Tesla, he spent 2 years sleeping on the mattress in the office, concentrating on Tesla until he got it to a certain point where it was big, and you know what? Then now he moves on to something else. And then he builds SpaceX, then he builds this. And then you say, one man, like, you know, you even look at the amount of, like, how does he think? Like, where for you, you're pursuing one car dream and it's consuming everything from you from the toe to the head. The man, he gives a dream just 2 years and says, in 2 years, Tesla is going to be the biggest electric vehicle and the best electric vehicle and what? And he, 2 years he's there. Then when he finishes, he leaves. Now he goes to something else. And I'm saying, what kind of man is this? Then the Lord reminds me that, go unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant. You can wake up today when you're thinking survival chikomando, and tomorrow you're thinking like the great man of, I'm telling you the truth. And like, God doesn't need any raw material. He just switches on something in you. Because I would say, then the next, now he's thinking, now, and that's how he does his things. He's building those space things of his. 2 years of doing nothing, he's there. All his mind and soul is there. He said that if the people who work for you have the feeling that you're somewhere on a yacht cheating in the Atlantic, they cannot work the same way. But if they wake up and find you sleeping there, that's when they are going to do serious things. Now, apparently he's also sleeping in the office trying to save what? America money, which they are saying. He set for himself $1 trillion, which he's going to save. And he's sleeping there. With CEOs, he gathered a group of top CEOs who have the ability to be cheating somewhere, but they're on a mission. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, you cannot be a small timer and then you become that except by the Spirit of God. Let nobody lie to you. It is you don't have that capacity in you. Eh? But when God turns it on, even you will be shocked by what you can do. Praise the Lord. Like, you can't. You've never thought like that. But according to the power that works in us. Praise the Lord. Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly according to the power that works inside you. It's inside you. Now, you might not build SpaceX or whatever, Tesla and what, but you might be taking over some business or some powerful thing. and pursuing some big dream. And even when you think about it, your mind freezes because you tell yourself, I do not have that capacity to achieve all that. It seems like so distant. And then one day you're praying and then God switches on something inside you according to the power that works in us. And then the next day, you come and tell the people whom you are talking to, do you know, I want to do this. I want to build this company to be the greatest, supplier of this in Eastern Central Africa. Somebody looks at you and says, good, why are you disturbing us? We know you very well. No, you don't. Something happened at night when you were sleeping. Praise the Lord. Something happened at fellowship when we took Holy Communion. Now I'm a different person. You don't know me. Huh? Praise the Lord. You don't know me. The power that works in us has been switched on. Praise the Lord. Now, God doesn't need superstars. He has you. He needs you. You are the one he needs. Like, there are things, I'm telling you, now it will be up to you to decide not to tell certain people certain things. Because you will make their life hard. They'll start wondering. You? Now we know you very well. Where did these ideas come from? And if you over listen to them, they can pull you down. So what you do, you first go and do your thing. And get that power that works inside us. And make it work inside you. And then you start coming out. A time will come when those very same people will start seeing you totally different. Because now they will realize that the power that works inside us has been switched on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for that? Yeah? Let us even take Holy Communion now and we switch on lights. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Because by your spirit, stand up everybody. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because by your spirit, today, you switch on something inside us that we may see the fullness of what you have in store for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, O Father, that like Saul, who 1 minute is looking after cattle, and the next minute is commanding a great army, so shall it be with everybody here. And now we open up our hearts and we open up our minds and we open up our soul and we open up our spirits to your Spirit of God, that you come and work a work in us, that we shall stand in that place where you want us to stand in this end time, and we shall not be timid like Peter, who was timid 1 minute and bold as a lion the next minute. You, Spirit of God, who came and indwelt him and made him a totally different person. Even so, you come and enter inside us and make us a totally different person. Somebody who is ready to be deployed in this end time for the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's have Holy Communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and for this wine. And we bless and sanctify it in the name of Jesus. We ask that you sanctify it in Jesus' name. For this, the ordinance of Holy Communion. Now, Father, even as we partake of this bread, we partake of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was broken so that our own bodies might be made whole. And we partake of divine health, and we walk in it in the name of Jesus. We walk in it in Jesus' name. And even as we partake of divine health in the name of Jesus, divine health, and even as your word says, on the night on which you were betrayed, you broke the bread and gave it to your disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we do this, we proclaim your death and your resurrection until we come. And we proclaim all the wonderful things that you purchased for us through your blood, through your death, and through your resurrection. And we proclaim every covenant. We affirm every covenant that we entered into with you by your death and your resurrection. Now, in the name of Jesus, as we partake of this divine health in our bodies, in Jesus' name, amen. The bread. And in like manner, we partake of this, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we partake of this, we pray, Spirit of God, that you come and enlighten our spirit according to that power that works inside of us, that you switch on something, switch on our greatness, that we might see who we are in you and what you have called us to do and what our true capabilities are. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that let nobody who partakes of this communion remain at the same level of aspiration, the same level of thought, but may they see the fullness of what you have in store for each and every one of us here today, individually, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The blood of In the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon each and every person here in Jesus' name, and I speak a connection between you and your divine calling, a connection between you and your divine calling in a way that creates certainty. And may all those who are uncertain about their purpose enter into a period of being sure. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you illumine us to the reality of what you've called us to be in this time. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at The Watchman Grounds, opposite Mukwaya Hospital, near the American Embassy, along the main Gabal Road. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.